President Joe Biden delivered his first speech today to an international audience, emphasizing to a group of European leaders the importance of allies standing together on the issues of arms control, the pandemic, and climate change. Biden also offered to rejoin negotiations with Iran over its nuclear program. He said transparency is critical.
That's why we said we're prepared to re-engage in negotiations with the P5 plus one on Iran's nuclear program.
That deal was signed by the Obama administration in 2015, but President Trump pulled out. He called it a horrible, one-sided agreement that should have never been made. Jim Walsh is here and now security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program. Jim, welcome. And President Biden says he was willing to negotiate with Iran to get that deal going again. That's a big shift. What's your take?
Well, he campaigned on it. And so, and certainly it was a legacy piece of his the previous administration he served in. So it's no surprise that he endorsed it. I mean, the situation now is that Iran is increasingly outside of any set of restrictions beyond its the typical safeguards agreement. But the extra special, great, intrusive rules we had under the Iran agreement have been slowly deteriorating once the U.S. pulled out. And so there's good reason to want to get back in. And these are good signals. He did some other stuff. He rescinded three letters the Trump administration had sent to the UN as part of this process. He's asked the Europeans to convene a meeting. And so these are all positive steps. But I would say this, Peter, you know, this is the definition of low-hanging fruit here. If you went outside and you saw a tree and there were low-hanging fruit, you would also see the Iran nuclear agreement. I mean, all the parties had already agreed to it. And it had been working, according to all the parties, when it changed and the U.S. pulled out. And Congress had already reviewed it. So I think he needs to move swiftly, because if he dawdles and this gets bogged down, it'll get away from him and he'll regret it. So I think it's a great move. But, you know, time is of the essence here.
Yeah, as you rightly say, Iran was far outside the terms of the agreement since Trump pulled the U.S. out of the deal. So in that time, how much closer have the Iranians gotten to a weapon since everything started falling apart?
I mean, I would say this. The big thing, and it's hard for folks to remember, but the DNI, the top U.S. intelligence official, said years ago that if Iran truly, truly wanted to build a nuclear weapon, it could do it. I mean, you can't bomb the knowledge of how to build a centrifuge out of their heads. They've enriched uranium. So if they really just woke up tomorrow and said, you know, we're going to do this come hell or high water, they could. And so what these negotiations are about are trying to find a different path so Iran ends up not choosing to get the bomb. And then the way to do that is through where they make voluntary, they do things and open up and are transparent. And in return, they get relief from sanctions. Now, are they closer? Yes, because they have, you know, they've accumulated a bigger stockpile of uranium and they're deploying more centrifuges. So at the margins, yes, they're getting closer. But all these are things they can reverse, and they said they would reverse them if we all get in the old agreement compliance for compliance. So that's what the race is. But if, for, you know, if something happens tomorrow and there's some incident somewhere in the world and things go south, then they have, you know, an unconstrained nuclear program.
Yeah. You know, both sides are probably going to be reluctant to get back into these talks without getting something in return. You kind of hinted at this a little bit. What do you think the negotiations will look like? What will each side be seeking here?
Oh, man. Well, this is a situation where you hope that just plain old national interest and common sense prevails, because obviously the Iranians are walking in and they're ticked, right? They went into the deal. You know, they made all these promises, their domestic population, you know, supported them in doing this. And then the U.S. walked out and made them look like, you know, stooges. So they're not happy. You know, they want compensation, and there's no way the U.S. is going to give compensation. And the U.S. is feeling, well, you know, now that I'm back in, I want things too. So the thing is, both parties have to get up beyond that, get real, lock down the agreement that they already have in front of them, and then sit down and try to work out something better. But the first order of business is taking care of what you've got. And to do that, you are absolutely right. This very testy, multi-decade relationship, the people on the negotiating table are going to have to put some of that emotion aside and deal with what's what makes sense first.
Yeah. How is Joe Biden going to figure out how to handle the situation with Israel, though, because you know that Israel does not want this deal to get back up and running again. Israel and Iran have long been enemies, and the U.S. and Israel have long been allies.
Yeah, the reality is, and it's, I was talking to a group the other day, Iran has been in a nuclear deal since 2013. You know, that's 7 years. 7 years I've been talking about this. And, you know, Israel opposed it all during those 7 years. Iran gets back in. Everyone gets back in. It'll just, you know, they'll be unhappy, but there's not much they can do about it. And it's in their interest. No one should want Iran to have an unconstrained nuclear program that could turn to the bomb. Everyone wins.
Jim Walsh, maybe 7 years from now, we'll still be talking. No, I hope not. Jim Walsh, you're a NASA security analyst. Thank you so much.
Thank you.